Okay, now we've come to the beginning of the awards presentation part of our ceremony. We're going to start with an award to McCabe's. And to introduce and present that award will be Nancy Covey. Nancy Covey is a concert, festival, and cultural music tour producer, presenter, and curator. As concert director, booker at McCabe's Guitar Shop during the heyday of the LA music scene, 74 to 84, she gained fame by showcasing folk, jazz, Celtic, Cajun, blues, roots, and Americana musicians, as well as producing concerts and music festivals around the world. Covey was later credited with discovering John Hiatt, Vince Gill, and introducing British folk rocker Richard Thompson to North American audiences when she booked his first ever solo tour. They married in 1985, and Nancy has continued to be involved in music and working with Richard. She also has founded a travel company called Festival Tours International and has been taking groups of music lovers to hear indigenous music, meet artists, and deeply experience the culture of a unique region, including Louisiana, Britain, Zimbabwe, Slovenia, Sardinia, Spain, and Cuba. Since 2012, Nancy has run Frets and Refrains, the Thompson family's annual guitar and songwriting camp for musicians of all ages and levels near Woodstock, New York. As well as Richard and Teddy Thompson, the camp features songwriting teachers such as Sean Colvin, Jill Sobule, and Patty Griffin, and guitar teachers including Martin Simpson, Happy Trom, and Martin Carthy. Please welcome the McCabe's presenter, Nancy Covey.
Oh my, this is so embarrassing. That introduction was longer than Bob's. My God. Anyway, hi everybody. I know y'all want to go to Slovenia and where else did he say? anyway, it was really wonderful to be asked to present this award to Bob. It's been a long time since I worked at McCabe's, but I have a real connection with McCabe's. Joel Tepp initially suggested that I have everybody stand who had ever bought a guitar, been to a show, taken lessons, but I think we've done enough standing. I think most of you guys in the room would then be standing, so we won't do that. But for me, I have a real family connection with McCabe's, other than meeting my husband there, because I hired him. Just want you to know that. To play. But later, our son, he sold guitars in the shop. So we had one on stage, one selling guitars. And, I mean, nepotism really works at McCabe's, I have to say. Very good. But really, it all started with my mother. My mother was a folkie. We listened to, I don't know if any of you remember, this will date me, John Davis's folk music program on Saturday mornings. Every Saturday morning, me and all the rest of you who are as old as I am, we cleaned the house once a week, and we listened to the music on John Davis's show. So she was a real folkie. And to buy her first guitar, we went to McCabe's. In those days, McCabe's was still on Pico. It was next to an egg store. Seriously, this shop next to McCabe's only sold eggs. Obviously, they're not in business anymore. But so she bought a Mexican guitar, which actually, my mom just recently passed away, and this guitar came to me. It's still a really bad guitar, I will say. I did get a fabulous Martin guitar. Thank you, Bob, for that wonderful deal a long time ago, my 018. The Mexican guitar is still a really crap guitar. But I have that guitar. And that was how I learned about McCabe's, because, you know, my mom had taken me there. So many, many years later, as we all did, you know, traveled. And in 1972, I came back down to Los Angeles, visited my parents. On my way back to Oregon, where I had gotten teaching credentials. I would have been a really bad teacher. I'm just going to put that out right now. But I'd run out of money, and instead of asking my parents for money, I thought, I need some cash just to get gas money to drive all the way back up to Oregon. In those days, $30 would have done that. So I thought, where can I get some quick cash? And I thought, well, I'd been to McCabe's, you know, I'd hung out there, played music, and, you know, just jamming with people. So I walk into the store, and I say, does anybody want babysitting or their house cleaned or anything? And I happened to be standing right next to Bobby Kimmel, who at that time ran the concerts. And he said, yeah, I need my house cleaned. And I went, okay. So I started by cleaning Bobby Kimmel's house. The same day, Wayne Griffith was refinishing Bobby Kimmel's floors. Those of you who have been to McCabe's, Wayne Griffith is still the sound man at McCabe's 40 years later. Sadly, Wayne cannot be here. But that's how I started my amazing career, right? Cleaning the, as you can imagine, because my mom only cleaned her house once a week, I was not a very good cleaner. So thank God, Bobby asked me to help him with some phone calls and things like that, because he was doing a Doc Watson tour. And I thought, this sounds great. So I, you know, helped him and made phone calls and you know, put up posters and really the shoe fit. So at the end, he offered me a job. These are the days when people offered you jobs. Doesn't happen so much anymore. So he offered me a job of $75 a week, which I thought was really big money. And he said, you only have to work 20 hours. Well, that never happened, of course. Anyway, so I worked for Bobby. 6 months later, we had produced a six-city Doc Watson tour. And we came back from that tour where I was supposed to make 15% of the profits. He had not told me that means you also make 15% of the loss. So at the end of this tour where he had lost money and we were running the shows, we were all in debt. And he said, I can't give you this job at McCabe. So I cleaned. This is not just about cleaning. I'm just going to let you know this is not all about cleaning. So I cleaned Tacoma Records next door. And that's how I made my rent money so I could keep working at McCabe's. And eventually I came back. He paid me. Bobby left McCabe's. I started running the concerts. All this is to say what I told my son. You just never know where life is going to lead you. And for Bob Riskin, I think the same thing happened. Bob was at Berkeley, came down to L.A., and this is in the early 60s. Jerry McCabe had already started McCabe's, and he was working with Walter Camp. And Bobby had been given a guitar, a 1915, or was it 1914 guitar. This kind of detail is important to Bob, so I do want to get that right. And he went in to get it repaired. Walter said, you know, I don't really have time to do this, you know, but I'll show you how. So Bob starts repairing this guitar. He'd never done this before. And pretty soon, Bob was the official repairman at McCabe's. So kind of like me, I'm sure that Bob never experienced or never expected that he would be all these years later owning a guitar store, and which turns out to be a real musical oasis here in Los Angeles. 60 years later, Bob still owns this store, and it all started with him having very little experience, just like me, repairing a guitar. So as well as running a store, obviously the lessons were a real addition to the store, and I think a lot of you have been there either teaching or taking lessons, and that has sort of helped spread the love of music. The concerts were obviously a fit. Wendy Waldman is here tonight, and she absolutely is living testimony to the McCabe's concert series. as that very nice intro that Steve gave me. John Hiatt, the way I met John Hiatt was I had booked John Lee Hooker, which you can imagine, McCabe's is only 150 seats, so I booked John Lee Hooker, and I was forced to hire an unknown opening act, and that was John Hiatt. So got really lucky. I don't think John Lee Hooker played again, but I sure hired John Hiatt a lot, and he was amazing. Another thing I remember is Flaco Jimenez was booked. I booked Flaco, and he was wonderful, and I get this phone call from this guy, and he says, hi, I'm, from Los Lobos del Este de Los Angeles. And I've never heard of them, obviously, at that time. And he said, Los Lobos, we would like to open for Flaco Jimenez. And I went, I don't know. I never heard of these guys. And then he said, we'll play for free. So they had the gig. And there they are. And Vince Gill in those days, was a teenager and a bluegrass player. And I know watching Vince Gill, who was just a kid, but a kid who really was hungry for music and really wanted it. And I've never been surprised that he is where he's ended up. And I was at, attended an award ceremony a number of years ago, and he gave a shout out to me and to McCabe's in saying that McCabe's was the place for him that it all started, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, McCabe's really is a community in a city. Those of you that live here in L.A., I think L.A. kind of struggles with that a bit. And Bob definitely helped create that community by being loyal to his staff members. I mean, as I said, Wayne's worked there for 40 years. And a lot of times you see some of the same faces there. And so many incredible things happened at McCabe's, not just the famous people, but the music classes and just creating an environment that that means that you can enjoy music and not necessarily be famous. So I've traveled around the world a lot because I like to and go to music festivals, and I see a lot of McCabe's t-shirts, I see stickers on guitar cases. I recently spotted a McCabe's sticker on the roadie case at a Don Henley show. It was at a festival. I didn't go to the Don Henley show, just saying. And the McCabe's sticker, the McCabe's is sort of a badge of honor for a lot of people, I've noticed. I think its reputation is way bigger than the tiny store. I'm really happy to see that the reins are being passed to a younger generation running the concerts. And there's a woman in charge. I like that a lot. Thank you, Coco. But McCabe's is really more than just the concerts. It's really a family-run business, not necessarily a blood family. But that is really down to Bob and S.B. Riskin. And Bob, to this day, can be found in his office, which is just past the guitars on the ground floor, on his computer. In the early days, the computer took up the entire room. And Bob actually encouraged people to do what later became video games. I mean, people were playing Pong. Anybody remember that? I, not being a very forward thinker, thought he was nuts. I thought, this is a crazy thing to do. Why would you want to play games on a little machine? Obviously, that was stupid. I missed that. But but Bob was a man before his time, I believe, in many ways. And his decades of crunching the numbers are sometimes very, very small and tight, meant that the rest of us had a place to explore where we could have this community of music. John McEwen is coming later. But and he wrote a testimonial, which he wanted me to read, which I will try to. He would do a better job, but he's not here. So I'm going to tell you what John McEwen wanted to say to y'all. He said, as a teenager, in search of my place in the world, I found it through the five-string banjo of Douglas Dillard. This was the initial inspiration to play, and it was that desire, fueled by the doorway to the LA's music of the world through which one traveled when entering McCabe's and seeing its legacy for what it stood, music that brings people together. In retrospect, I feel McCabe's was unknowingly, or maybe they knew, the Washington Square of the West Coast Greenwich Village. Now that village in Southern California was spread from Orange County's Paradox and the Golden Bear to the ice houses of Pasadena to Hollywood's Troubadour and the Ash Grove and many others. But the musicians all came to McCabe's at various times to hang out, play, mingle, buy new eclectic stuff. McCabe's put the tick in eclectic. I like that. And spread the word of music of the world. If there had not been a McCabe's, especially if the one in Long Beach, the extension, there was an extension for a while, had not existed, there would not have been a Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, as well as many other itinerants who hung around and played their way to fame and the national scene. McCabe's fully deserves this Ambassador Award, for without their embassy to gather in, there would have been a lot of wandering lost musicians out there without a base to find their instruments and their audience. John McEwen, I think that's very, very cool. John will be here later. McCabe's is going to do a workshop, so I'm pretty sure John will be there. So I'm really proud to be a small part of the McCabe's legacy. And although Bob rarely came to concerts, Bob made it all happen, and he still does. He trusted those who worked for him. In that way, he was absolutely the best boss I ever had. And I think we all appreciate this musical island of tranquility, which is how the LA Times called it many, many years ago. And I think that's still true. And Bob and Espy have kept this going. So it is with great pleasure, Bob, that I give you this Best of the West Ambassador Award. Bob Riskin, come on up. Bob, you need to come up on the stage. Note the t-shirt.
I would like to thank you all. I really didn't know about this, that all this was going on. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful thing to be honored by this association. Nancy is a shot of her 20 years there, and I've been there for 60, I guess, 50. What happened was I got drafted, they turned me down, I came back, I walked in the guitar store, and I never left. And during those years, I've built it into a gender equal, racially blind organization, and I'm proud of that, because guitar stores used to be a couple of guys shredding, and it's still true. It's not a good place for women, typical store. I feel that women can come in and they feel safe. Their children, their babies, their dogs, anybody. And I'm proud of that. And we've done it together. I cannot have done this. I love the music. I have no talent. I'll be honest. Raikuder was a little kid, and he was at the store, and I saw him learn so fast. He was 14. And I worshipped his music. I mean, that was the kind of people who came, were there in the first years, of which, of course, I remember the most intensely, because I was 19 and energetic and think of us all when we were 19 and energetic. We were powerhouses. And I designed the store as a combination excellent music venue and teaching facility and repair facility and a place that people could come. And it's been tough since 2008 and the big recession that never went away. And my wife came out of retirement. Espy took over a stressed Bob and started to count the pennies and budget. And we have kept the place going. I would also like to say that the concert venue has always been the tiger that you hang on the tail of. But I come to about two or three concerts every year, and that adds up to quite a few, but they're selective, from the Malawi Mouse Boys to Bruce Schwartz, the puppeteer, the great puppeteer, who made you cry, and Ricky Jay, the magician, and Allen Ginsberg. I wasn't here for Allen Ginsberg, but Aoife Donovan's group, named. Quick now, Crooked Still. Oh my, yes. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about that stuff. There'll be a discussion later, I understand. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And there are so many people here and so many names I remember. And John Davis came and helped us with the electricity. Stuck his finger in the sockets and said, "That one's hot."
And Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, yeah, Linda Ronstadt painted the stage.
But it's all of you people out there that's keeping us alive and going and allowing us to have the type of venue that McCabe's has been and will be for the next 60 years.